Well, good evening to you all. I'm delighted to welcome you to this civic carol service on behalf of Newbury Baptist Church, of which I'm a member. It's a privilege to be the Mayor's Chaplain this year, and we welcome the Mayor of Newbury and other elected members of the Town Council. The Mayor is actually a member of this church, Jo Day, and so she's on very familiar territory. But if you're not, please feel very welcome. We welcome not only our councillors, but the scholars, the West scholars from Christ's Hospital, who are here as well. And not only our own choir, but the newly formed community choir. And we're delighted to have you here as well. And they wanted me to say that they always welcome new recruits. Newbury Baptist Church has taken a very active part in Newbury and its civic life over many years, since 1640, in fact. Next year will be our 375th birthday. And we've also a piece of memorabilia from Newbury's past, because on our communion table, which is over there at the moment, there's a brass plaque which tells us that it was made from oak timbers salvaged from part of the old town hall, which stood in the marketplace until it was removed in 1908. So we've bagged a bit of Newbury as part of our regular worship. And today we serve the town and its surroundings with our various activities, those from youth right through to seniors with our lunch club. And we're also glad to be able to provide a base for loose ends, street pastors, and to work with the food bank, all three of which are joint ventures with our fellow Christians in Newbury. And as a church, we're united in our desire to explore the meaning of the Christian faith and our commitment to follow Christ, and to show that in our service to the community. So tonight, we celebrate the Christmas story in carols and readings, with contributions from our own choir and the newly formed community choir. And we hope that this evening you will feel welcome. And we hope that you'll come again. Details of our Christmas services are on the notice sheets outside if you would like to collect one. We're going to follow through the order of service without announcement. We hope that you'll stand and join in hearty singing in our congregational carols, and remain for some refreshments after the service. And you will note that there will also be a retiring collection, the plate near the door, which is for the charities which our mayor has chosen for this year. So first of all, I'm going to invite the mayor to... Oh, well, there's already a light. She was going to light the three Advent candles, but by a miracle... They're alight already, so I have to save that for another time, Joe. So, let's begin with the carol, Once in Royal David's City, and if you'd like to remain seated for the first verse, because Ella is going to sing that as a solo, and then stand and join in the singing from verse 2 onwards.
Once in Royal David's City, stood a little old car to shed, where all mama laid her baby in old age of fire.
Please be seated. Now let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Everlasting, loving God, as we come together to celebrate the birth of Christ, open our hearts and minds to hear again the message of your love. As we reflect on the hopes of people down the years, the words of the prophets, and the story of humble birth of this child in Bethlehem, help us to reflect anew on the significance of his coming, that in all our joyful celebration we may see that here is good news for ourselves and for our world. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Isaiah 9, 2, 6 and 7. The prophet Isaiah looks forward in hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of Hosts will perform this. Thanks be to God.
St. Luke tells about the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him, and being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Luke 2, 8, verses 8 to 16. The shepherds go to the manger. And there were shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were very afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And when the angels had gone away, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Thanks be to God.
The star to Jesus. This is Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them, Where will the Messiah be born? And they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them carefully what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, so that I may also come and worship him. When they had heard the king, they departed, and the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stopped over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and worshipped him, and they presented their treasures to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A moment or two of reflection, not a sermon. It's an interesting fact that in this sceptical and frequently unbelieving age, the Christian festival which draws most adult crowds is Christmas. It's sometimes said that Christmas is especially a time for children. And no doubt, if you spend time with young children, or even remember your own childhood, you'll know the special expectation and excitement. For parents, if your child's school is one of only about three in the country of primaries which now have a nativity play, your child's first starring role is especially precious. And one has to admit that sometimes these nativity plays include some unlikely characters because of the need to give every child a part. Strange beasts together with aliens, punk fairies and angels in Elvis costume. And no doubt this year there's been a temptation to include a penguin. I love the story of the boy who came home excited because he'd been given a part in the school nativity play. "What will you be?" his mother asked. "Joseph or the innkeeper?" "I'm going to be a piece of paper," he replied. Actually, he was going to be a page to one of the wise men. Childhood memories of Christmas are precious. I can remember to this day the excitement of opening presents with my cousins, although it was wartime and there were very few toys in the shops. But my family made simple toys which somehow seemed all the more precious. I contrast those times with the present day experience of one of our granddaughters staying with us recently, aged six, who spent a couple of happy hours going through a toy catalogue listing all the Christmas presents she wanted. Everything she chose was a spin-off from the highly popular Disney film Frozen. And by the time she'd finished, she'd run up a potential bill for about £370. I fear that she's going to grow up to be a big spender. Well, we know that Christmas has become a time of conspicuous consumption, and perhaps you enjoy it. I'm not here to be Scrooge, saying bah humbug. And yet it's good for us all to be reminded that in all the preparations, the getting and the spending, the Christian meaning of Christmas is something else. It's about God's gift to us and our response in giving and loving. Our readings and carols tonight have taken us from the age-old hope of the prophets to the birth of Jesus and the visits of the shepherd and the wise men. And our final New Testament reading is an attempt to sum up what it all means. St. John doesn't give us the birth stories, just the statement, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us." The Word of God, became a human being. Another meaning of that word, Greek word is logos, is purpose. And in some ways, although it's unorthodox, I almost prefer that. It's saying it was there from the beginning, God's purpose. And his purpose for the world was being realized in the coming of Jesus. He was the light who lightens everyone. His light revealing all of our potential for goodness, all of our desire to live meaningful lives, but also exposing the darkness. St. John wanted us to see God at work in the way that people's lives were changed when they met Jesus. He wanted us to wonder at Jesus' amazing love, his teaching, his acts of healing, his breadth of compassion, his understanding of his death as the way in which God's love was undefeated by evil, and that the believer's experience of the risen Christ was life-changing. He wanted us to say, like the centurion at the cross, truly, this is the Son of God. So we've read the history, but how does Christ come to us now? Christ comes in love, in forgiveness, in challenge, and the call to take ourselves out of the centre of the picture, out of the selfie, to think and care for others. It's so easy for us to become cynical and to stop believing that anyone or anything can change. The world is in an unhappy state, and so often we feel helpless to do anything about it. And yet the experience of thousands is that they found their lives were changed when they turned to God and trusted in Christ and his ways to find healing and forgiveness and purpose. And that can be true for all of us. The more we get to know of Christ through reading the Bible, through Christian fellowship, the more he can become a close companion for us in our lives and give us a sense of purpose and a new direction. And that truly is the greatest meaning of the story of Christmas. Let's try to put Christ in our Christmas and through the coming year. And now we're all going to stand to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
St. John tells how the purposes of God are revealed in the coming of Christ, the creative Word of God made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That was the true light, which gives light to everyone who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And the Word was made flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
And now our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty and loving God, you love and care for all that you have created, and so we bring our prayers for the world into which you sent your Son to be our Saviour. We give thanks for the many blessings we have received individually and as a community, and for this time of preparation for Christmas. We thank you for the light and hope revealed in Christ, the baby in Bethlehem, in his life and teaching, in his death on the cross, and his risen life in those who follow him. As Christ brought light into the world, so we pray for the coming of light and hope in places of darkness in our world today. We pray for countries and communities where hope is fading, where the threat of violence and hatred tears people and communities apart. We pray for all who have the power to make a difference and to bring peace and reconciliation, thinking especially of Nigeria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Crimea, and all places where religion and ethnic background divide people. Especially we pray for those persecuted for their faith, for Christians and others, for refugees, and for those afflicted by disease, especially the victims of the Ebola crisis in Africa. Gracious God, we know that for some the Christmas season is a time when memories of Christmases past and of those whom we have loved but see no more is a time of sadness. We pray for the bereaved, the anxious, the lonely, for frightened children and parents, and those facing bad news. Strengthen all who seek to bring comfort, hope, and practical help. We give thanks for our own community of Newbury, and for all who serve in public office. We pray for our mayor and councillors, as they seek to serve and lead this community, and for all who maintain justice, law and order, care for our health and well-being, teach and lead our young people, serve in our shops and maintain a clean and healthy environment. Help us to value their service. We pray for the homeless and unemployed, for the work of Loose Ends, street pastors, the food bank, CAB, and all who are helped by the Mayor's Benevolent Fund. And we pray for all who struggle with difficult relationships. Lord, as we celebrate Christmas, open our hearts in compassion and help us to see how we can be the answer to others' prayers and bring hope and good cheer to those in need. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And now we stand to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Standing for the prayer and the blessing, and then continue to stand as the mayoral party depart. But I hope you won't depart too quickly, that we can mingle with you at the end of the service as we all have some refreshments. So let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. May the light of faith illumine our hearts and shine in our words and deeds, through Christ our Lord. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us this Christmas and forever. Amen.